why? Well, it doesn't take a genius, doesn't take any particular brilliant insight to look around and see that the world around us is in fact very unstable. Whether you want to look at governments, financial markets, inflation, all the different things, societies themselves. You know, you read just about every day that there's some kind of disturbance, social unrest and violence somewhere in the world. And, you know, we can look at these things and it's very easy to become depressed, worrisome. But I tell you what, there's peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the foundation of what I want to share with you today as we continue in our series is the reality that us hearing and doing God's word brings soundness. It brings stability to our lives. Again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he says, people who hear my words and don't do them, they're like building their lives on sand. They try to construct their life, but when the storms of life come, the winds blow, the rains come, and all that stuff, it beat upon the house, great is its fall. But a wise person is the person who hears my sayings and then puts them into practice. That is like a person building their house upon the rock. And when the same storm hits that, their house stands because it was founded upon a rock. More than ever in the days that we live, we need to be listening for God speaking to us. We need to be more time in God's word. Whatever that is for you, you need to be consistent with it. Now, when we talk about engaging in God's eternal revenue system, as I've said before, most places that churches you go to and preachers, they'll say, well, you need to give. And they start with the giving in it. And I'm here to tell you that that's not totally true. It doesn't begin with your giving. It begins with faith. It begins with faith. Believing God, believing that what he says is true, that he will do what he says he will do for us and in our lives. You receive, you know, there is an aspect of giving because faith and giving, they go hand in hand. They're like two sides of a coin. You know, for a coin to be legal tender, you have to have both sides. You just can't have some pretty president on one side and nothing on the back side. Just doesn't work that way. And so it is whenever it comes to God, even the gift of salvation. What is it? God, we receive God's gift of salvation through faith by giving him our trust that I believe you. But it does start with faith. This is borne out in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Look at this passage with me in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 says, oh, hey, pay attention. Look, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And then he goes on, he says, why do you spend money for what is not bread, what's not going to sustain you, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Again, coming back to listening, hearing God speaking to you. Listen to me and eat what is good. There's just too many. I don't want to sound like I'm bashing other churches. I you know, whatever they do, that's between them and God. I take care of myself and, you know, I just have to look after me and you and what God's speaking to us. But so many people teaching, you know, God just wants you to barely get along. Only just have enough just to meet your needs, because anything more than that, you can't really be trusted with it because you'll just be selfish with it. So God doesn't want you to have it. No. Eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. That's the God we serve. That's the God of the Bible, okay? Not what religion teaches. He says, incline your ear. In other words, pay careful attention. Come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. God's eternal revenue service is unlike anything else that we can put our money into, give our money to. And so that brings up the question then, because as believers, like other people in the world, everybody in this world faces this in some form or shape or another. You know, the question then becomes, how do we go about answering the dilemma of where we are going to give our money? You know, we get mail. How many of you get mail things asking for money? You know, you get stuff, email, you know, request for donations, money, whatever kind of thing. We get all these things that solicit funds, and many of them are for good causes. As believers, where do we start? Well, as far as I'm concerned, we go back to the Word of God. The Word of God will tell us. So look with me in Malachi chapter 3. You're about to hear something that you've probably never heard or seen before. Stay with me. Malachi 3 verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Now, believe it or not, that is a good thing. I mean, if you're perfect, to change brings in imperfection. It means you weren't fully there, okay? He says, therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But now the people in response, they say, in what way shall we return? So their response is, okay, you say we should return to you? Really, God? Okay, I didn't know we were apart. Are we apart? Is there distance there? And I want you to notice it's interesting that as we're going to continue to read here, God does not say, you need to get on your knees and pray more. You need to read the Bible more. You need to go to church more. He doesn't tell them that. These are good things to do, but that's not the place to start. So they ask the question, how shall we return? And God says, I want to talk to you about your money. Let me just interject right here just for a moment. Did you know that Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven or hell? He did. So God says, I want to talk to you about your money. And they can just see these people. What? Seriously, God? I thought you were spiritual. You weren't interested in carnal things like money. Why do you want to talk to us about our money? But did you know that the Bible shows us that there is not anything more spiritual than the topic of money? You want proof? Let me just ask you this morning. How many of you will acknowledge that there's nothing that will sour your spirit more than having a tough time with money? Put you in a bad funk? Getting close to tax season. If you do your own taxes, you know, won't that just put you in a good mood? Hardly. There's not much that will lift your spirits higher than when money comes to you in abundance, right? Woohoo! And listen to me. There is nothing more than that the demons of hell and the secular society, the secular world around us will scream and have a fit and challenge and curse us over than when we start listening to God when he speaks to us about money. I find it amazing that people have such singular vitriol whenever it comes to the Lord and his work in the earth today and the subject of money. The fact is, Scripture is quite clear. God has chosen the church, not this building, not a denomination, but you and me as coming together as a body, a growing body together. He has chosen the church to do his work in the earth today. And I got news for you. It takes money. It takes money to do anything, doesn't it? If you own your own business, you understand that. It takes capital in order to be able to sustain your business. And if you work for a company, you can gripe about you know, all their money and so little make. But, you know, it's interesting whenever it comes to God's work, oh, those money-grubbing preachers, they're just out for money. Well, no, that's not true. well, not true here. I can't speak for anywhere else. But the reality is that everybody is seeking and going about. I mean, that's what advertising is. It's to figure out a way to separate your money from you. Right? It's just commerce. It's just business. And yet, at the same time, you know, that's what advertising is. But for the most part, I don't hear too many people, oh, yeah, watch TV and you watch, you know, network television and how to put up with these commercials. This company, I just want your money. I'm not doing business. You got a commercial on TV, I'm not going to your establishment. You got a commercial here on the radio, I'm not going to yours. But you let it be about church. Oh, you're going to be talking about money. I'm not going to that church. I'm not going to go to one of those churches and just talk about money. By the way, let me remind you, this is the first time in over 8 years that I brought any kind of a series on finances, so it's not something like we talk about every week. You see, if you apply the same logic and reasoning to other aspects of your life, you'll find out that there may be a little bit of inconsistency there. Now, I promise you that what I'm bringing you and why God wants to talk to us about our money is not because he wants to take something from us to leave us with less. He's talking about our benefit because, see, again, as we read, he says, you know, look, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And God says, I want your heart. And if you say, I'm going to keep something in reserve and I'm not going to listen to anybody, I'm not going to listen to God talk to me about this, well, you know what? God will let you do that. And let me just say, as we go through this morning, I want you to know right up front, you can hear what I've got to say. You can hear what the Word's got to say. And if you're still not convinced, I want you to know, if you never give a dime to Family of Faith, but you come here, I will still love you as your pastor. I will still be available to you. It's not based on, you know, people who give what? And even if I, even in those things, do I know that it's a tithe? No, because I don't know how much you make. It's not about that. And I want you to also understand right now, I'm trying to throw a lot of things in here because we're not going to talk about this way next week. We're going to talk about Easter next week. I'm not doing this because the Family of Faith as a church is in any kind of financial hardship at the moment. Okay? This is not what I'm doing. Truly, it is for your benefit. My job is to bring you God's Word. What you do with it is between you and the Lord. It doesn't affect our friendship. Okay? We good? Okay. So, figure out where I am. Anyway, when God says return to me, I'll return to you. That sentence is based on what is seen in these verses. Again, look at the first part of Malachi 3, verse 7. It says, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Now, from the days of your fathers, follow me with this. Let's go back to all of our father as far back as we can. For every person on the planet, it goes back to Adam. The first man, okay? So I want us to look, because from the days of our fathers till now, people in this area have wandered away from God and then wondered why life isn't fitting together. So let's go back and see what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. Now remember, God said, let's have this picture if we could please. God said, when he made the garden, he put it out there, he says, I get to use my laser pointer again. This is a rare treat. Please humor me. There's so little things that I get to do like this. So anyway, God says, all of this is yours. Now, I know these aren't fruit trees and so forth, but just pretend with me. He says, all of this is yours. All of this. Okay? He says, but there's one part that's mine. And I want you to honor that part as distinct from your part. And honor me in this. This is mine. Do not partake of this fruit. Okay? So what happens? Satan comes and says, I want to talk to you about that part. I want to talk to you about that. Because God knows that if you ever get that, you will be so much better off. You need that for yourself. If you ever get that tree, God knows that you will be like him. Well, the fact of the matter is, Adam and Eve were already like God. They were made in his image, which brings us to the topic of godliness. What is godliness? Godliness is God-likeness. They were made like God. So in other words, there was a pattern. God made man and woman like himself. And so what we need to see is that there are patterns of godliness. Patterns of godliness. Now, we understand patterns. We understand that for chairs, for clothes, for buildings, you know, you got blueprints. For clothes to fit comfortably, for buildings to be sound and secure and stable, for chairs to be balanced and sound, they must be made according to pattern, right? Life is the same way. And the Bible presents patterns for life, for doing life. Patterns like God made us to live in his likeness and the blessings of his ways working in us and for us. The pattern here had to do with the portion that was God's and all of the rest of it, the portion that would belong to man. The devil came to them and said, listen, if you observe that, not touching that tree, not eating of that fruit, you are being defrauded. You're being cheated. You're dupes and you're missing out. Now, we can easily see how this applies to the way that God speaks concerning money and the pattern that the tithe is his. It belongs to him. But many people are still persuaded that if they can get that portion, the tithe, that they will be better off. And so it was with Adam and Eve. They found that they were not better off. The next part of verse 7 says, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. To return to his presence, he's telling them there needs to be a return of his portion, what belongs to him. So then at the end of the verse, he says, but you say, in what way shall we return? And God answers in verse 8, he says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now let's just hold on here just for a minute. Because some of you grown up in church, you've heard the harshness sometimes of this preach. But let's just unpack this a little bit. How do I rob God? I mean, let's just be practical here. If I don't tithe, give 10% to God, is it really robbing God? I mean, is God going to be poorer if I don't give? Is he somehow dependent upon me showing up with the cash? No, that's totally absurd. What is God robbed of? Money? No. I remind you of Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he exists, he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So to pursue God by faith, is God robbed? No, he's robbed of the opportunity to bless us. He's robbed of the opportunity to bless us as we live according to his pattern. He's robbed of his purposes for you. being fulfilled in you as your maker, your creator. God designed you to function and fulfill a purpose in this world. And when we start deviating from God's resources or removing ourselves, distancing ourselves from his ordinances, then what happens is we don't fulfill the reason why we're here. And God says, you are most, I mean, stop and think about it. Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, did they have any bills? No. Did they have any worries at all, really? I mean, no. They just got up every day and enjoyed the garden. Yeah, they had to tend it a little bit and so forth, but it was what they were created to do, and they loved it. You know, as the saying goes, find a job that you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Some people, though, they're, get back to the old grindstone. Maybe you should make that a matter of prayer. Just a suggestion. I mean, you know. Not that everything's going to be fun. I mean, after they sinned and the curse came into this world, it made everything more difficult. And yes, by the sweat of our brow, it takes some intentionality. It takes a little effort. So, when we pervert God's pattern, things become inverted, backwards. It damages us, and it robs him of the opportunity to bless us. So he says in verse 9, he says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, hold on just for a minute, because we got to do some explaining here. You are cursed with a curse. First thing I want you to notice, God did not say, I have cursed you with a curse. Did he? Do we need to go back and look at that portion of the verse? No, he says, you are cursed. You are cursed with a curse. He didn't say, I have cursed you with a curse because you're not giving. No. But people, it's amazing. People's attitudes, and it comes from religion. Religion helps people to think that God is almost hoping you won't participate in what he's saying so that he can sock it to you. So what is a curse? Well, first of all, there are many misconceptions about curse and cursings that come up on people and things like that. And I don't have time to cover all that today, so we're just going to narrow it down to what we're talking about here. But I do want to say, when he says you're cursed with a curse, he's not talking about saying you're going to hell. Okay? And yes, in yesteryear, I've heard preachers get up and say this very thing. Hey, you know, you got to receive Jesus, yes, but, well, let's see, then you got to be baptized. And if you're not baptized and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not tithing, then you're going to hell. I just think, well, what are you doing? Even as a little kid, I look at these guys and think, you're nuts. Okay. Anyway, what is a curse? It's not going. What he's saying is you are cursed with a curse. He says it means that in the economic affairs of your life, you haven't shaken free of the impact of the curse that came upon this planet, upon people. And because people are people, what did this produce? The IRS. Yeah. This verse calls us to see what's happened through the fall of Adam and Eve because of sin, and how God wants to see us set free from the limitations of the curse by participating in his eternal revenue service. You know what a curse is? A curse is a blessing that gets turned opposite. But listen to me, God did not do the turning. You see, just as God made provision for sin and death in the person of Jesus Christ, he's also provided a way for our provision in life. God's word reveals his intent for blessing us. He spelled out plainly how life works, and his desire to have life work for us. But if we don't do the things that make for life, that make life work, as he has shown us in his word, and we instead, we pursue our own ways, eventually what happens is our own ways will end up working against us. The pathway of disobedience becomes our undoing. It's the opposite of blessing, which is a curse. And God doesn't want to see curse come upon anyone. So he says, return to me. The appeal of this text is, will you rob me of the chance to bless you? By turning away, you are bringing a curse upon yourselves. The call of God is that we return his portion. And the act of rededication, returning to him, is seen in verse 10. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, what is the storehouse? The storehouse is the center place for your spiritual life and operation, namely the local church that you're a part of. You commit your tithe to the local church, and then you prayerfully give offerings. I'll just say a little word about this, because some of you, you're faithful in giving your tithes, and yet I've noticed it, because I'm a PK, I'm a preacher's kid. So, you know, my dad, he started working when I was between 3 and 4 years old at a rescue mission. Today we call them homeless people. Back then they were bums and hobos, winos, and in downtown Tulsa. And I remember being there and see all these, well, some of them were younger, unfortunately, but a lot of middle-aged and older men who just lives have been wasted away and they have no place to go. And they would give them a meal. And if they stuck around for the service, they could spend the night there. Service wasn't long, wasn't intimidating, but just, hey, listen, God will help you. You give him a chance, he'll help you. You don't have to stay in this situation. So that's where I grew up. And then he went on to pastor churches. And so I've grown up in this. But my point is that it can be challenging to hear God, to speak to you about giving offerings in your local church. You know, it's kind of like what Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home and in his own town. Or move forward of several hundred years, you know, the cobbler's kids have the worst shoes. You know, he's so busy taking care of making shoes for everybody else that, oh, here, your shoes, you know, let's just to put a little tack in it right over here to hold it together. You know, they have the worst shoes. It's so easy because we're accustomed to what we see here and the way we do things. And, you know, I've always told all the people involved in here, the day that the donuts don't show up, look out. No, we're happy to do that. We understand Sunday mornings, especially if you got little kids. We don't have time for breakfast. Come on, you'll get a donut. So we're grateful, very grateful. We're so grateful. Jody, she faithfully goes, picks up the donuts every Sunday and brings them. Wow. She's on a first name basis with all those people down there, by the way. And it's kind of cool because, anyway, the point is that, you know, whenever it comes to offering, I do believe that we need to be prayerful. We need to talk to the Lord about it. But it's so easy that whenever offering opportunities come up in a local church, that we just think, you know, whatever. And we don't give that as prayerful attention as we might something that, you know, we see or hear a commercial or we read a letter from somebody that really stirs our hearts. And we think, well, because our heart is stirred, we should give. Maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. Your heart stirred, pray. God, my heart is stirred. Do you want me to do anything here? And if so, what? And let the Lord speak to you. Learn to hear his voice. And these days, again, I'm telling you, you need to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. And he will speak to you. So he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And he says, and try me. Put me to the test in this now, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Oh boy. Really? More blessing than I have room for? Try me, Lord. Come on, let's see. How many of you say, yeah, okay, I could, you know, overflow me right here. Try me, Lord. You know, I could use that. But you know what? The Lord speaks back to us and says, okay, no, but you try me. As there's the return of his portion, the tithe, 10%, God says there'll be a return of power. He'll open the windows of heaven, a promise of abundance, bringing you to overflowing. And then he says in verse 11, we'll get there in just a minute, but he says, he'll rebuke the devourer for our sakes. He will drive back the adversary. Now let's look at verse 11. He says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. I mean, just sum this up in modern, because we're not in an agrarian culture for the most part. He says, he explains that those who will, in faith, as an act of faith, participate in his covenant, he will remove them from fruitless enterprises. That the things that you have sown, you've planted seed in, you've given toward, instead of it being lost, the Lord says he will rebuke what would consume the fruit, the benefits, the outcome of your efforts, and that your efforts will produce fruit. This is his promise to each of us. That's why there's great value in hearing, listening to the Lord. Now, we're just about done. But as we've spent these weeks on this, you may be here today and you'd be thinking, yeah, Pastor, I'm not sure. And boy, you know, you're talking about giving 10%. You know, I just cannot do that right now. There's just no way. Well, everybody says that until they jump in and start. And then they went, wow, we're managing and we're actually doing better. I had one lady, she said I could tell you her name, but I'm not going to tell you. She told me last Sunday, she said, you know, Pastor, every time I forget to tithe or I just stop tithing, it seems like I money gets really, really tight. But when I start back again, I always have plenty and a little extra. I don't know. Lots of you could tell that kind of a story. But for those of you who are just, you're not sure, I want us to go back to what God said, and he says, try me. Put me to the test in this. So I want to offer you an opportunity. And it's in your service program. It's with this half sheet here. And here's what I'm going to invite you to do. On April 7th, this will be the Sunday after Easter, so it's a couple of weeks away, you to pray about coming and sowing a seed. Not to family of faith, for family of faith. Okay? You're going to bring it. If you so choose, if you want to see, okay, God, I'm going to put you to the test in this. I'm going to bring an offering. I'm going to plant seed. I'm going to sow seed. And where this is going to go, there's an organization in Lawrence that serves Douglas County. And it's a pregnancy counseling group, but they do so much more than that. One of the things they do, they have a house called Selah House. And this is where new and young mothers and mothers with little kids who've got no place else to go, they can be taken care of for a little while. It's that particular house, Selah House. It's going to give you an opportunity to people who need help. And we have an opportunity. You can plant seed there. That's where this offering is going to go to. None of it's staying here. It's all going to go to Selah House. So not only is it a good cause, but here's a good opportunity for those of you who are just, I just don't know about this. I'm just not sure. God's challenge, not mine, God's challenge to you is put me to the test. Come plant a seed and see what grows from it. We all understand you plant a grain, a kernel of corn in the ground, and it grows. How many kernels of corn are you going to get? Well, if you get 2-3 ears, and I don't know how many kernels of corn are on an ear of corn, but a whole lot more than the one. There's always a multiplication. And can I just say, this is not just only about money. God has, in his eternal revenue service, it's just not only about our money, it's about the whole of our life, but it does include our finances. I want you to know that I have found out that as a result of my faithfulness to the Lord by faith, giving what I give, I have found that God has blessed me with things that money can't buy. There's just some things money can't buy. I could talk to you about health. I could talk to you about relationships. I could talk to you about the whole of life. And it's not just, well, okay, we'll pay God and he's going to fix my relationship here, or this job situation over here, or, you know, my kids. No, it's not. It's not that kind. It is faith. It begins with faith, believing that God will do in your life what he says he will do according to his covenant. And I want to be a part of what God brings to life. Because there's so much of life that I've learned I can't control. Just beyond me. I don't have control. But I know that I can trust God, that no matter what's going on in my life. So what I'm saying is, you are worthy of it all. From you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory, the credit. I want everything, every part of my life, I want God to fill it and bless it to overflowing. So you consider that. You know, you're going to see this in your bulletin. I'm going to mention it next week, and then you decide. You know, you can put God to the test. You can bring a quarter. You can bring a dollar. You can bring a tithe's worth, whatever, of whatever, to sow into there and just see what God will do. I'm telling you, I believe you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. We are dealing with a heavenly eternal revenue service that enables us to live and give as God intended us to. Let's all stand. There's great value in learning to hear from God. And when God speaks to you, when he speaks to you out of his word, and then you do it, that is faith in action. And that's what God rewards and blesses. And again, as we started this service earlier, God is for you. He's not against you. He's not to diminish your life. He wants to see your life increase. And I want you blessed. I want you blessed. We're going to pray, and I don't know, maybe you need to ask the Lord to renew a right spirit in you concerning money and giving so that you can begin to give with joy, because that's what the scripture says. God loves a cheerful. The Greek is literally a hilarious giver. Ask him to help you remove the polluting effects of the past that hinder your ability to cheerfully give. Whether it's at Family of Faith or, you know, you see somebody on the street, whatever. Some need approaches you that you know, I really wish again I could tell you what your giving does. We don't talk about it enough, and there's some of it that I can't share with you because it has gone to different people in the congregation, and that's private. But I want you to know, you when you give, you're doing a lot of people a lot of good, not only here but around the world. A lot of good. Whatever you need to talk to the Lord about right now, would you do that? And then I'm going to close this in prayer. Father, this morning it's a fact of life that everybody wants the money that you've entrusted to us. And yes, we have responsibilities, we have families to support, and that's all a part of it. But Lord, it really does come down to ROI, return on investment. What are we getting? We're getting lunch, make the mortgage payment for another month, the car payment. Those are things that we need, Lord, and you're aware of that, and you're not against those things. But Lord, the greatest return on investment is not so much the dollars we give to a local church or to missions or whatever, but Lord, it is the faith that when we hear you, we are responsive and we do it. Because not only is there return to us in this life, but also we're storing up treasure in heaven. There's no greater place, no greater way than to give as an act of faith. Lord, I pray that you would open our ears to hear you. And that, Lord, that we'd be responsive to it. That, Lord, we might receive blessing that overflows us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.